Exposing free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, April the 15th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Yesterday, I began with a story I thought was a great metaphor for what has happened to our country. We panicked. We had people in the mainstream media. We had people in the alternative media panic. They pushed the panic button. And like the 60-year-old man, I think he's 61 years old, in France, his friends or his co-workers bought him a ticket on a fighter jet. He was so shaken up in the fighter jet that he started grabbing things. He punched the panic button, and he got ejected from the jet at, what was it, about 2,300 feet? I don't know how fast he was going. He didn't have his helmet on, or it wasn't strapped on, so he lost his helmet. And fortunately, he had a parachute. Now, it remains to be seen if the U.S. Economy, if the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, has a parachute. We've been ejected, as we've had everybody pushing the panic button. And you got Fauci in the back, rubbing his hands together like a praying mantis. It's absolutely amazing when I look at this. And now today's metaphor, I think, is the concrete safe room. We see protects a Mississippi family from a tornado. A tornado that hit the town completely. This is the town of Moss, Mississippi. The tornado that hit the town completely destroyed the house in just 20 seconds. The only thing left standing, and you can see it in that picture if you scroll down, the only thing left standing is a concrete a cube that essentially looks like a concrete porta potty, except it wasn't portable. It stayed right there, did not blow away. And it saved the life of that family. The firefighter, his wife, and their two young sons were unharmed. Meanwhile, across the South, they said in several states, they had at least 34 people killed. Now, let me give you the analogy to this. You know, it was Governor Cuomo who, when he was talking to Rudy Giuliani, said, this is kind of like a weather report. You know, they tell us that a storm is coming and we try to prepare. And it turns out in this particular case, they're 100% wrong. You know, it's kind of like when a hurricane is coming. And they say, well, we think it's going to come your way and it's going to be have winds that are going to be this high and it's going to have a surge of water that's going to be this high and it's going to, you know, do massive damage and loss of life and so forth. That's good. You know, to always be prepared. To have advice, not to be forced to leave your home. I grew up in Florida. I don't like people telling me that I have to leave my home when there's a hurricane coming. I've been through too many of them. The worst hurricane I ever went through was in North Carolina, and it wasn't even it was only 75-mile-an-hour winds by the time it got to us, but the destruction was unbelievable. We were out of power for a week where we were in a rural area because it knocked down so many trees, took out the power lines, because there had been about 14 inches of rain in a very short period of time. They had trees that had been up for 100 years that came down. But I digress. Let me tell you, you know, when we look at this, one of the things that panicked so many people, especially in the alternative media, was the idea, and it was a credible idea, and it may actually be a true idea, that it's a bioweapon coming out or released from China. I think that's likely. And I had people writing me and said, aren't you afraid this is a bioweapon? Why are you trying to tamp this down? I said, because the greatest destruction, I said, even if it is a bioweapon, the greatest destruction is to allow them to destroy our Constitution, to destroy the rule of law, to enact de facto martial law, to make it so that we can't have jobs, can't have food, and implement a system of slavery. And let me tell you, when a real bioweapon comes, that's what we should be focused on, not on China. Focusing on China is a prelude to the next step, folks, and that's World War III. What we should be focused on is shutting down these bioweapon labs, not pointing fingers at each other. Because that, you know, the real bioweapon that you have to watch out for is going to be the one that's like a tornado, not like a hurricane. We'll be right back.
Deceit,
Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, April the 15th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. You know, as I was saying at the top of the hour, and I ran out of time, so let me finish this analogy. I was relating the story about the family in Mississippi. You know, we had a rash of tornadoes that went across several states this last Sunday, and 34 people were killed. One family's home was completely destroyed, nothing left but the foundation and the safe room that they went into, which is basically a concrete bunker. There it is, right there. It's like a concrete bunker. For those listening on podcasts, it's a concrete bunker, a little bit larger than a porta potty that the two parents and two sons could fit into. They were completely safe in that, but it blew everything else away. Now, is that an analogy for you to stay home and be safe? That's probably what Fauci would tell you. No, I'm telling you that, as Cuomo was saying, yeah, we missed it. They were 100% wrong. And like I said yesterday, no, Cuomo, they were 200 to 400% wrong on hospital beds. I'm sorry, 200 to 1,000% wrong on hospital bed estimates, overestimations. On ventilators, they were 4,000% wrong. They missed it by a mile. That's kind of like telling somebody, we've got a hurricane coming to New York, and instead it goes to, I don't know, Panama. completely different direction. But as people looked at this, and it panicked so many people, all across this country, and even people who know, should know, the nature of government, who should know history, who should know who these players are and how they have worked in the past, they were panicked as well. Had a lot of people contact me. Aren't you worried about this? This bioengineered thing? I said, well, we don't know for a fact that it is. Probably is, based on where this thing began and some other indications. But I said, I'm just hoping, we'll have to wait and see. I said, I'm hoping that the biowarfare engineering is not as effective as the social engineering. And it turns out the social engineering was really what we needed to be concerned about this time. I believe that was the case. I believe that even if it was a pandemic, that the measures that they took were just going to add another burden of suffering and disaster on top of the biowarfare. And so I opposed this from the very beginning. And you have to understand what a masterpiece of propaganda and programming this plandemic was. And I say was because now the little emperors have lost their pandemic. Everybody now is scrambling about how they're going to get it back. But they don't want to give you back complete control. We told you this is going to happen. When you lose your freedoms, they're going to use that as a ratchet, and they're not going to give those freedoms back. We now got President Trump saying yesterday, we'll do it a little bit by little bit. We're going to have the CDC and FEMA in charge of how the country is going to reopen. But of course, we're not under martial law, are we? Yeah, not under declared martial law. Always told you, FEMA was going to run the martial law when they took down the Constitution of the country. And now President Trump is saying, we'll tell which states can open and which ones can't. I've got the clips for you from yesterday's thing. And most amazingly, he says, well, I think we should have the governors decide that in some places they're going to run tests at the borders of the states and decide who can come in and test people when they come in and test people when they leave. How about that? There you go. Just like we've been saying for years, what they have done at the TSA was just the beginning, because it is the Transportation Safety Administration. All about safety. Give up your freedom for safety. Become a slave for safety. And it was not the Airport Safety Administration. It was the transportation. It was always about this. Years ago, they were running some early drills about, looking for weapons. Yeah, weapons. Now everybody is a terrorist because everybody might be carrying that bioweapon, that germ. You are a suspected infected. That's worse than being a terrorist now. You are suspected infected, citizen. Get over against the wall. I'm taking you into house arrest. For now, we'll come up with another place to store you later on. But understand what a masterpiece of social engineering and propaganda this was. Because for a long time, they have been modeling everything that they wanted in terms of all the restrictions and the controls and the realtering of our society and our economy and our freedoms and our mobility, how we live, what we eat. All of this has been designed around climate change. And the we're all going to die. Hair on fire alarmists who call us denialists, right? You deniers, you climate deniers. I never denied that there was climate, never denied there was weather. I denied their models. I denied their data. And so what they did, you realize that in one fell swoop, they just took out the basis for that model, the panic basis of climate, because, you know, those models are getting kind of old. Nobody was buying it. We'd poked a lot of holes in it because we'd had time. So the climate change model was kind of like a hurricane that was coming after you. We could look at it and we could say, no, you know, that hurricane has turned south. It's not heading toward New York City anymore. It's heading towards Panama. They got that all wrong. But with a tornado, which is what this was, a tornado is going to come on you very, very quickly. You're not going to get much warning, any preparation at all. And so even though they had the model there, they came up with a new justification for we're all going to die. And they put it in there so quickly, our economy, it was like our economy was hit with a rash of instant tornadoes. And far more devastating than a hurricane, frankly. When I lived in Florida, my family went through many, many hurricanes. I lived there for 25 years. The most devastating thing that ever happened was when we had a tornado hit our house. And let me tell you, we have been hit by a tornado with this planned demic. And I say planned because they had everything there. They just needed to insert the new panic button. And then here's the next thing that's coming up. I see all these people, as we talk about, you know, what's worse, the biowarfare weapon or the social engineering, right? And believe me, they're going to get the bioengineering. They're going to up their game. And if we don't shut down these labs that are funded by the NIH, the very people who are here to protect us, right? Isn't this always the case? The people who tell you that they want you to surrender your freedom to them are the ones with the guns and the uniforms and the jail cells. And the people who tell you that you have to surrender all of your freedoms, these are the people who are working around the clock for decades with hundreds of billions of dollars to develop biological warfare weapons. And when they don't have enough takers for the research here, they fund it in China as well. They're desperate for this. It is a global agenda to kill the population of both soft kill, depopulation, and eugenics. And these people at the NIH are behind that. They're with Gates. They're funding it here in the United States at universities as well as in China. And if we don't shut them down, that's the real threat. But look what they're doing with that. Now they're pivoting and making this strictly about China. We have the hawks in the Republican Party. Marsha Blackburn, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, these senators. They're all out there coming up with ways to punish China. And the back and forth between China and the U.S., pointing fingers at each other over this. As I've said for the longest time when I talk about the fourth turning, and this was something that I didn't come up with. It was something that was formulated by Strauss and Howe back in the early 90s. They said in the mid-2000s there'll be a global economic change, and every 80 years you get a massive restructuring of society. It's usually accompanied by a massive economic implosion followed by war. And let me tell you something. These moves about China are showing you what's next up. This is how they're going to get out of the Greater Depression that they've now just kicked off. War. World War. World War III. You should be very concerned about that.
Dr. Mike.
As I was saying, the thing that we have to worry about now is the articles that you see over and over again. All the speeches by the senators, especially Republicans. China, China, China is a problem. And they are a problem. I mean, no mistake about it. I'm not underestimating the danger and the viciousness of China. They were at the center of this, quite frankly, but not in the way these people are saying. You've got Marsha Blackburn, as The Hill reports, China hawks flex their muscle amid the fallout. A group of hawkish senators fiercely criticizing Beijing's response to the disease, and because, next up is going to be World War III. Marsha Blackburn, Communist China has lied to the world about COVID-19 since day one and is now responsible for over 100,000 deaths. Well, the first part of that is right. They have lied to the world. You had Josh Hawley has now introduced legislation yesterday that would strip China of its sovereign immunity, allow it to be sued for, quote, any reckless action that it took that caused COVID-19 pandemic in the U.S., such as its decisions to withhold information and to gag doctors, unquote. Then you have Hawley going on to say in a statement, the CCP unleashed this pandemic. Senator Tom Cotton, another hawk, has introduced sanctions. So there you go. They're blaming this on them. They're saying they were the ones who unleashed this, and we're going to allow people to directly sue them for damages, and we're going to put sanctions on them, which, again, is the first act towards war. They did not unleash the pandemic, Senator Hawley. What they did was they unleashed the dystopian reaction to a supposed pandemic, and they created the plandemic. Everybody mimicked them. Look at this. They locked down a city of 11 million people. Now, we had 4 million people get out of there before they locked it down, and that did not spread to other Chinese cities. Interesting, isn't it? I said at the time, I said, don't assume, and I had John Rappaport on. He was on top of this. He said, look, everybody is saying, because they shut the country down, that proves that this is something, a disease that we have never seen the like of before. It is more deadly than anything that we've ever experienced before. See, they shut down an entire city. I said, well, you know, even if everybody died in that city of 11 million people, that's just a small number of the people that Mao killed, 80 million people, to establish his political power, the Great Leap Forward. It was just an economic move. It was a power play, just like this is, quite frankly. You want to know what this is? This is the Great Leap into the Abyss, the Great Leap Forward into global governance. Everybody following their lead, their authoritarian patterns, buying the drones to harass people and to measure their temperatures at a distance. All of these different things that were being done, all these dystopian policies being done in China, they were being applauded here in the United States. Even before, you saw them adopted in Italy and Spain and all these other places. And like I said, this has been like a hurricane. Coming on us so quickly. They did unleash this on us. To paraphrase Abbott and Costello, who was on first? That's HU, the former premier. Then she was on second. We got I don't know in the White House, and you are locked at home. That's the reality of what's going on here. We had a clueless tool in the White House. Here's another clueless tool who maybe got a glimmer of this. Cuomo's brother, Governor Cuomo's brother, Fredo, has actually a live radio show, and he admitted that his job is trafficking in the ridiculous. This is an article from Summit News by Steve Watson. I don't want to spend my time doing things I don't think are valuable enough to me to do personally. Why is he reassessing his whole career here? I don't like what I do professionally, he said. He says he dislikes talking to Democrats about things I don't really believe they mean, talking to Republicans about them parroting things that they feel like they have to say and so forth. Does this have anything to do with the fact that his brother said we got it completely wrong? That his brother, who is there at the very epicenter of what we're told, the worst place for coronavirus in the world, right, according to the press. They said, look at this. You've had more casualties there than China and everywhere else. Right there in New York City. And yet they're the ones who are now saying, we got to let up on this thing. Understand, their pandemic narrative has collapsed on them, just like the models for the climate change people. You know, we had Climate Gate 1, Climate Gate 2. We had emails between these people saying, you know, our models don't work. We've got to hide this, you know, what is happening. And that's now what is going on with the CDC. They've always, always lied to you about the statistics. They've always estimated the number of flu cases, the number of flu deaths, and so forth. They don't test that stuff. They estimate it all. And very conveniently, they came up with a different estimate for everything just so that they could make the coronavirus look differently. But now everybody's looking. And this is a moment when we need to look very carefully and not defend the CDC. They have never told you the truth. They have estimated all this stuff. They pull these numbers out of the place where, you know, you put the toilet paper rolls that you bought, right? That's where they get their numbers from. They just pull it right out of there. Let's play video clip number 7. This is President Trump yesterday at the daily Corona conference, press conference of the White House. This is what he had to say about New York City. Video clip number 7.
He understands how we helped him. He needed help. We gave him 2,900 hospital beds. He didn't use them. We gave him a ship. He didn't use them. And I'm not saying, but I'm saying that's good because you know what? That means he didn't need them. But we said it was too much, but we wanted to err. We said, err on the side of caution, as I said. We said, look, we don't think you need it, but if you do, we're going to have them built. And the Army Corps of Engineers did a fantastic job. And the U.S. Navy did a fantastic job. And we moved a ship that was not meant for COVID, and we had it redesigned for COVID. But they still didn't have very many people going in.
Yeah, basically empty. 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 And, you know, you had Cuomo saying, he sent me a lousy 400 ventilators. I need 30,000. Where did he get that? Well, he got that from Fauci. Got it from the CDC. The liars with their statistics and their models and their projections based on false assumptions. And it turned out that he put those 400 in storage. He didn't even need the 400. Didn't need the Navy ship. Didn't need all those hospital beds, those extra hospital beds that they built. Didn't need the ventilators. They were the worst place on earth. Not just in the United States, on earth, we're told. And they didn't need it. This thing has been, let me just say it, a hoax pulled on you. They have hyped this thing to the nth degree. Now they're all coming back today as they're saying, we got to start getting back to work now. Can't sustain this any longer. But they have put in the psychological programming into people. They are afraid to come out. It's going to be like Groundhog Day. And you're going to have, you've already got Americans saying, well, I'm not sure I want to go back to work. You know, I get that government check. And they tell me, you know, Fauci tells me that I'm going to die. And, you know, when I step outside of my groundhog hole, I see a shadow from the shadow of death. I got to get back in my groundhog hole here. Yeah. Groundhog socialism. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, yeah, I thought it was very amazing to see Governor Cuomo's brother Fredo saying that, hey, I'm just trafficking in the ridiculous. And he comes out and says this just as their pandemic panic is collapsing in a heap of lies. Of lies. They can't covered up. They're working really hard, and I'm going to tell you how they're still trying to manipulate the data to make this look like the most dangerous disease you've ever seen. But, you know, he says, I don't want to spend my time doing this. He goes, Democrats don't believe this stuff. Republicans are just parroting talking points and so forth. That's right. That's right. You got that. You've been lying to people. Look, folks, here's the important thing. As Gerald Slinty said, as soon as they put this lockdown in, he goes, when this is all over, they're going to say they saved everybody's lives. And that's exactly what they're saying. President Trump is saying that. Governor Cuomo is saying that. No, you didn't save anybody's lives. As you see these people saying, look at this. It got out. Everybody's got it. I mean, look at the places where they tell us the most number of people died. They were the places where they had the most draconian measures put in place. Italy, Spain, New York City. It was a place where they also had the most government control over health care. I think that was a more deciding factor in all of this. And also, you know, we look at New York City. I mean, these are people who can't honestly count votes. Do you think they honestly count the reasons that people have died? So, you know, they could be complicit in cooking the books for the CDC. But just understand, they did not save us. What they did was they destroyed lives. They destroyed jobs. They destroyed businesses. They enacted de facto martial law. They destroyed the Constitution, the rule of law. They haven't had the decency to declare martial law or what it looks like when they're going to come back. Well, no, we'll just kind of work this out. I'm talking to the governors, you know, and I have my friends coming in and we're going to talk about this. They manipulated the population into a state of hyper fear because they manipulated data and they manipulated the news. And let me tell you something. They did not flatten the curve. What they flattened was our freedoms. They flattened They flattened our food supply. And folks, they have flattened our future. Don't talk about the economy. That's an abstraction. They have flattened our food supply. They're flattening farmers. They're flattening truckers. I spent a lot of time the other day talking about iPencil. These people don't understand how pencils are made. They don't understand how food is produced and delivered and consumed. And you've got these stupid FDA inspectors, just like they did in Los Angeles. Actually, I'm sorry, it's not FDA. Not FDA this time. This time, it's local inspectors. L.A., Boston now. Coming in as these people are desperate because they've got food. They got to get rid of it. Can we sell this food as groceries because we are not allowed to open up our restaurants? Our restaurants aren't set up with drive-thrus like a fast food? No, you can't do that. You're not allowed to sell groceries. What do you think this is, America? You think people are free here? We got federal laws for that. Yeah. They have flattened our freedoms. They've flattened our food supply. They have flattened our future, folks. And let me tell you, I went back and I saw this report. I did this 9.5 years ago for an InfoWars contest, which I did not win. But I want you to see how I predicted exactly how this is going to happen, and why it was going to happen. I called it Gov School for Government School. Let's run that clip, video one.
Do you remember watching old World War II movies where the Germans remaining?
What have you done with your papers?
Well, how do we get to the point where you not only have to constantly provide your identity papers, but you have to be x-rayed and sexually molested to travel? Why are only a minority of us bothered by this? How did we lose our freedom and dignity? And how do we get them back? Well, the answer to 1984 is 1776. Colonial Americans would never have tolerated this from a government that, in their view, had been created to protect their God-given rights. But Americans today are very different from Americans in 1776. The difference is the education and conditioning we receive in government schools. In 1948, Orwell wrote 1984, which explores the horrors of an authoritarian government that has taken away freedom and dignity. But that same year, an American, B.F. Skinner, also wrote a novel about a totalitarian government. But Skinner viewed total government control not as a horror to be avoided, but as a goal. His later book on behavioral psychology, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, is required reading in many colleges of education in the area of behavioral psychology.
Now we have to put the world in order. It will be a long and complicated struggle, but we have the unity of a common order and a common knowledge.
There are many different theories about what a perfect society should look like, but all the social engineers agree that the key to accomplishing their vision of utopia is to get control of children at the youngest possible age, separating them from their parents and attaching them to the state. Skinner sought to abolish family, religion, democracy, capitalism, freedom, and dignity in his ideal society.
The new world begins.
Just look at the results. In 1984, the Ministry of Truth was responsible for all education, fine arts, news. One source, one authority for all information. which freed the Ministry of Truth from the concern of actually telling the truth. With a continuing centralization in education, our government is increasingly considered to be the authoritative final arbiter of what goes into textbooks and curriculum. It even influences the choice of textbooks for most private schools and some homeschoolers. At the same time, the schools have been at the forefront of adopting all aspects of the surveillance police state. No tactic is too severe for the Ministry of Love to use in protecting its students. Teddy bears with cameras, pencil sharpeners with cameras, ties with cameras, cameras everywhere. Checkpoints, locker inspections, metal detectors, police. 5,000 in New York City schools alone. Constant surveillance. No freedom, no dignity. Our centralized government schools have become a combination of many love and many true. Gov School is 1984 on training wheels. Textbooks today are constantly updating the past to reinforce the social engineering fad of the day. The founders, who valued individual freedom, have become unpersons, vanished, written out of the textbooks in favor of contemporary persons who embody political correctness. The students adored the party and everything associated with it. The songs, the banners, the drilling, the yelling of slogans, the worship of Big Brother. It was all sort of a glamorous game to them, systematically turning them into ungovernable little savages. Yet this produced no tendency to rebel against government rules. All their ferocity was turned outward against enemies of the state. How do we answer this Orwellian nightmare? The answer is 1776. There was no federal Department of Education in 1776. There was no Department of Education even in 1976. America rose to greatness with a population that was educated at home or in small, locally controlled schools under close supervision of the parents. The literacy rate in colonial America without Gov School was higher than today. 20th century figures that were homeschooled included the Wright brothers, Thomas Edison, Douglas MacArthur, and George Patton. The generation of Americans that defeated the institutionalized fascist followers of Hitler had, on average, 8 years of school. A couple of generations later, and our institutionalized children are in school from age 3 to 22. 19 years, and they're arguably more dependent and definitely more socialist. So how would 1776 look today? For starters, we take back our children from the socialist planners and the social science experimenters. Government control of education is government control of our children. We stop the government control of education by stopping the flow of our money for education going to the government and only a portion coming back to us. We stop the government from defining education by selecting curriculum and textbooks. Government control of education must be abolished for the same reasons we don't have a state church and that we shouldn't have state-run media. You can't have freedom of religion or freedom of speech if you don't have freedom of education.
All right, we don't have time for the rest of that report, but if you want to see it, you can find the link at davidknightshow.com. You'll find it. We're going to put it up on band.video, our section there. We'll put a direct link up on davidknight.com. Here's the thing, folks. I did that in 2011. It sounds like I'm describing what just happened this last month, doesn't it? What happened a year or so ago with AOC and the Socialist and Antifa? But that was from 2011, early 2011. Am I? You just have to look at their plans. They laid it all out. You know exactly what they're doing. The tactic has been used for millennia against sheep, like the American people have become. Talk about how crazy this has become. We got an article from Summit News by Paul Joseph Watson. Aussie cops, Australian cops, use a surveillance helicopter to track down remote campers. Police in Tasmania. Do they call themselves the Tasmanian Devils? Are using a surveillance helicopter to track down people camping in remote locations in violation of lockdown laws. As one Twitter user put out, when you social distance so well that the cops have to find you by helicopter. Except, see, it's not about social distancing, is it? Because the helicopter landed near various campsites that they had seen from the air to interrogate the campers in the region. And when they couldn't land because the campers are so isolated, so distant, they would walk up to them, hike up to them on foot to hector them. Commander Blackwood is this guy's name. Commander Blackwood called the campers selfish. Selfish. For endangering other people during the COVID-19 pandemic. How could they do that when they're not around other people? But here's what he had to say. Said covert and marked police vehicles and the rescue helicopter will continue to undertake patrols around the state. So if you are away from your primary residence, you can expect people to stop and speak to you about your movements. They put that up on their Facebook page. Let me tell you what this is about. All of this social engineering and this propaganda, these lies coming from the CDC, this is not about social distancing or making sure that you don't catch a disease. This is not social distancing. This is about house arrest. If you are away from your primary residence, we're going to hassle you. We don't care how you could be by yourself on an island. That's not sufficient. You have to be locked up at home. This is about house arrest. That and nothing else. I put out a tweet yesterday, and I told people, I said, let's make this trend. Hashtag Constitution distancing. Because that's what these people are really doing. It's this anti-socially distancing, right? You could call it anti-social distancing because they're trying to disconnect you with everybody else. I said, let's try to make this trend. I put out something else today, and I started to use that. And I was surprised that it suggested Constitution distancing to me when I typed in Constitution. Now, that's a lot of letters to type, so not that big a deal. But hey, folks, let's make this trend. We got to start pushing back against this. We got to show what this agenda really is about. This is not about a disease. This is not about protecting you. This is not about your health. This is not about your safety. This is not about social distancing. This is about house arrest. This is about flattening your food supply, flattening your freedoms, flattening your future. And we have had a listener send this to me, by the way. You can find me on Twitter at Libertarian. If you want to send me tips, articles, I really do appreciate that. I've had some really good stuff sent to me. You can find that address in the description at the Twitter account, Libertarian. It's David Knight Show, not the, but David Knight Show at Proton Mail. This was sent to me from cauldronpool.com. Ben Davis writes, tech giants began the crackdown on unapproved sermons as they force churches online. See how this works? You know, this is a thing that bothers me because we've got to get people to understand what's going on. And many of the Christian sheep are sheep when it comes to politics. And they need to be like lions. They need to be as wise as these serpents who are deceiving them. I said this when it came to these people. The Kentucky governor, Beshear, was the first one to say, we're going to lock you down and don't go to church. That's the only thing he mentioned. Don't go to church. And so some of these people show up at a drive-in church. They come up with a novel solution. They stay in their cars. They're all sealed up, and they put on their radios. That's not good enough for them. Just like it's not good enough for these people to be camping out. You've got to be under house arrest. They want to shut down these activities. They want to shut down people getting together, talking to each other, because that's dangerous for them if you talk to each other. That's why they want to control social media. That's why they did everything to make social media these free platforms. Free to use, free speech. They were the free speech party of the, you know, free speech internet, right? Or whatever it was that Dorsey said, but not anymore. They did that until they could create this ghetto. But things are moving much more quickly now. Because it only took a couple of weeks. I said, when that happened 2 weeks before Easter, I said, you watch. That's not going to be, you can't appease these people. You can never appease tyrants. And so 2 weeks later, that same governor said, well, we're going to go around and we're going to take the license plates of anybody who does something like that. They're not, just like these campers, they're not in contact with each other. It was about the power play. We're going to take their license plates and we're going to put them under house arrest for 14 days. 14 days. So what is happening after you get, let's just do it online, right? We can just do, we'll try to appease these people. Well, with coronavirus restrictions, writes Ben Davis, cauldronpool.com, with coronavirus restrictions forcing the closure of church gatherings worldwide, and authorities threatening to punish those who continue to attend public worship. The Christian church has become more dependent on the internet than ever. Churches are now employing popular social media, video sharing platforms that are controlled by these technocratic elite who don't like free speech of any kind. And understand, the reason we have the free expression of religion and the freedom to assemble and to address our grievances to the government is because, you know, the kind of speech that people don't like to hear is political speech and religious speech. You know, you want to be a pariah at a gathering, just talk about religion and politics. I can tell you that firsthand. if anybody knows me, knows that when I get together, those are the two topics I talk about. It kind of narrows your, you know, range of friends there very quickly. Well, it would appear to be straight up banning churches is not off the table for some platforms, as a church in Moscow, Idaho, discovered last week. On Friday, Google suspended Christchurch's app from the Google Play Store, just like they've done to InfoWars, right? After accusing the pastors of a lack of sensitivity and or capitalizing on the current coronavirus pandemic. We don't allow apps, they said, that lack reasonable sensitivity towards or capitalize on a natural disaster, atrocity, conflict, death, or other tragic event. Your app has been suspended and removed due to this policy issue. It's believed that Google was referring to Pastor Douglas Wilson's short lesson on responding faithfully to the COVID-19 crisis, Pastor Toby J. Sumter's sermon calling God's people to humble repentance in the face of a pandemic. The sermons had not been taken down yet off of YouTube, so I didn't have the time to listen to it. But I pulled it up, I searched for some keywords, and guess what? What they objected to was not anything they had to say about the pandemic. He was just using that as an example of how your life is going to be altered. And said, you know, from here on out, you may find that life in America is drastically altered. What do you think about that? Have you invested all of your life in the affluent society that we may not have again? Do you care more about that? I mean, would you be willing to trade, for example, the affluence that we have to get rid of the depravity that we've seen? He specifically talks about abortion. He talks about the LGB tyranny, the gay pride parades, and so forth. He uses that as a comparison. He said, test your heart. What do you really value here? I mean, if you had that choice, would you go back to life the way that it was in 2019? You know, with a LGBT, with a drag queen story hour and the abortions, but you had your 401k was zooming up, right? That's what he talked about. For that, they took him down. And let me tell you something. If you want to go online, you're going to find the same kind of censorship that we found over politics. We get censored and all these other people got censored. It wasn't about supporting Trump or being conservative. It was about people who opposed foreign war, people who oppose the surveillance state and things like 5G. We're seeing that stepping up now all the time everywhere. All the time you're seeing censorship about that. But if you come after their fundamental values and their fundamental technocracy, and if you start talking about God, these people who think they are God, who demand that you worship them and bow down to them like God, they will take you down. And you better understand that from a political standpoint, from a complete First Amendment standpoint, gone. Using the same ideas, we own this platform. Yeah, we created this little ghetto for you. And now we're going to bring the German troops around, point the guns at you. Folks, if you want to keep us, take a look at the products that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got some great products that really do help with your immune system, help to fight viruses. You know, it's no question that zinc is antiviral. You can now find that as part of your regular supplements and vitamin mineral fusion drink mix. 50% off. Tastes great. You don't have to swallow a lot of pills. You can find that at InfoWarsStore.com. Also, vitamin D3. A couple of stories, one of them from Politico, another one from Rabobank, and I think it really shows the danger of where we have gone. Remember, these people did not save us. They did not flatten the curve. What they did was they flattened your freedoms, they flattened the food supply, they flattened your future. And what they did was they used this pandemic scare and these lies, as I said before, you know, you've got lies, damn lies, and then you've got CDC statistics. They're in a class all by themselves. They rigged the information to panic everybody to think that this is the most dangerous disease that we've ever seen. Yes, people have died, and that is a tragedy. Is it a tragedy when over 100,000 people die from prescription drugs every year? Is that a tragedy? It dwarfs what happened with this. It's every bit as much of a tragedy, every one of those deaths, and it's orders of magnitude higher. But don't pay any attention to that. They never shut the entire economy down because we have prescription drug deaths, did they? No, don't even talk about that. But when I look at what is being done to our future, our country, Politico points out Trump's new healthcare legacy is a big expansion of the federal government's role. The administration's massive coronavirus spending features a new program that experts say mirrors the single-payer system. And I look at this and I say, you know, I've been fighting against Hillary Clinton for 30 years because she's wanted to impose a single-payer health care system. In other words, government control of your health care. Let's just put it that way. It's government health care. They will pay for everything, but you know what? There's strings attached. There are conditions attached. You're going to have to get your vaccines if you want that health care and many other things, right? And I didn't want that kind of control over my life. I wanted to have a health care system that was flexible, that could adapt. Right? I've talked about the Rockefeller scenarios that were put out 10 years ago, 2010. And in that, they said, well, you know, let's imagine that we've got, and they talk about a situation just like we had. What a coincidence. And they said, let's imagine that you got, there you go, right there, four different possibilities, four different scenarios. How do they come up with those four different scenarios? Well, in one of them, you know, in each of those scenarios, what they do is they talk about two different parameters that they vary to get those four different combinations. A strong or a weak government is one vector, okay? The other vector is whether or not society is free, can adapt, is flexible, and can, you know, create technology and do other things to adapt to that. So they come up with four of those scenarios. Guess where we wound up? If you look at the scenario that they call lockstep, it looks exactly like Fauci's lockdown. The worst case scenario where you have an all-powerful government and you have a society that is not adaptable, that is not free, that is cowering and waiting for the government to provide everything to them. And that's what we've got. 10 years later, we went to the lockstep scenario. And as Politico points out, the Trump administration is pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into a key health sector that it previously vowed it would rein in. They've expanded benefits. They've boosted payments in the Medicare programs by an estimated $50 billion. While promising to directly pay for treatment of thousands of uninsured people because of this coronavirus thing, some experts say that it looks exactly like a single-payer system because that's exactly what it is. President Trump is probably now overseeing one of the biggest expansions in government health spending in 1 year ever, said the executive vice president for health policy at Kaiser Family Foundation. It has a lot of people who want a free market, who want freedom to choose their health care. Has a lot of them concerned. You should be concerned. I'll finish this when we come back, and we'll talk about how the Fed has just carved central planning into the bedrock of the U.S. financial system. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
A resident fellow at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute says about what is happening to our health care system that is now being turned into a single-payer system. This is one of the other things that has now come out of the plandemic. You know, just like universal basic income and mandating the austerity that requires universal basic income. We don't have the money to pay for our rent. We don't have any jobs. We can't pay for our health care. Please, please help us. Big brother, can you spare a dime? Big brother government, please take care of me. Yeah, that's what this is about. They impoverish you, and then they come around and they throw a couple of coins into your cup while you're on the sidewalk. It's no coincidence that Google calls their smart cities sidewalk labs. And this is a study right now. This is an experiment. This is a plandemic to impoverish you, to make you homeless, to make you dependent on them. As the Conservative American Enterprise Institute said, there is an institutionalization effect. Once you get to a certain point, it's very hard to go backwards. The trajectory of President Trump as being one of the biggest expansions in government health spending in 1 year ever, as the Kaiser Family Foundation executive said. The trajectory, says Politico, has sent ripples of anxiety through parts of the conservative health care establishment. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I've had ripples of anxiety over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. I mean, you know, when I realized that so many people that I always felt were going to be fellow winter soldiers to fight for freedom became people who were just pushing the panic button. I just could not believe it. And many of you have written me talking about the same experience you've had. You know, people you've gotten together with fighting for firearms freedom. You know, they said, hey, look, two people got shot. We're going to have to take everybody's guns in the state, that type of thing. Yeah, it's a tragedy when people get shot, but that's not the right approach. But that's exactly what they have done with this plandemic. And many of you have said, hey, all these people have said they were all about freedom. They don't get what's going on. They're scared to death. They're hiding in their houses and so forth. And we got people in the independent press, the alternative press, that are pushing that panic button all the time. Yeah, the thing that bothers me is that it's not being criticized by those same people because they don't buy into their hair on fire narrative, their alarmism. It's what I see happening to this country. Yeah, it creates ripples of anxiety over worries that the Trump era that once seemed to be the gateway to smaller government could end up further entrenching the nation's massive federal health programs. I have seen this with every administration in my life. I had some hopes that, well, maybe this time it'll be different. Mm-hmm, yeah, it's different, all right. It's much worse than I've ever seen before. I've seen these types of campaign promises and the resultant betrayals of this. Yeah, we're going to reduce this. We're going to do this or that. And then, of course, we know. And Democrats feel the same way. You know, they want bigger they want different things. They want bigger and bigger government. And it doesn't grow as quickly as they want. But as G.K. Chesterton said, it's the progressives who make the mistakes. And it's the conservatives, like Trump, who make them permanent. They said, as Miller, who was with the American Enterprise Institute, said, it's very hard to go backwards once you get to a certain point. That's why you can't screw up if you actually believe in stuff like smaller government. But now, all of a sudden, the stops and the locks on the door are all gone. As Politico pointed out, Trump paved his way to the White House by harnessing years of conservative rage over Obamacare, over Hillary Care, right? Vowing to make his administration's first priority a repeal of the landmark health care bill. Well, you know, he didn't, did he? You know, one of the things about President Trump, and I talked about it more than he did, he had on his campaign website, and I gave him kudos for it. I said, this is the most detailed position of any candidate anywhere in any party, including Rand Paul, about how to fix health care. It was a wonderful plan. I made the mistake of trusting that plan and voting for President Trump. So don't talk to me about trusting the plan anymore, okay? Yeah, that plan had elements in it like competition. Remember when President Trump was mocked by Marco Rubio? You keep talking about lines. What lines? President Trump was saying, hey, we're not going to say that you can't have competition across state lines with different insurance companies. You know, right now, insurance companies have to all operate on a state-by-state basis, and they can't compete outside of a state without having to comply with different regulations. So we're going to take that down. We're going to have more competition. We're going to have more transparency about pricing and so forth. Oh, hospitals don't like that. Doctors don't like that. The Kaiser Family Foundation doesn't like that. The big pharmaceutical companies don't like that. He said, we're also going to empower people. We're going to let you spend your money before you send it to Washington on things like give you, you know, health savings accounts and credits on your income tax. But no. They want you to send all your money to them. And like Bernie Sanders said, you know, that's their treasury. Don't give anybody any tax cuts. Don't give anybody any credits for anything that they say is so vital, you know, whether it is health care that they want to pay for or college education that they want to pay for. No. You can't spend your own money on that. You have to send all your money to Washington, and then they will dole it back out to you like an allowance. If it's so important, why can't I spend my own money to buy it? Oh, no. It's about control, isn't it? It's not about education. It's not about health care. It's not about any of these things. It's about them getting control over your life. And they've got it now. Oh, they've got it, don't they? And so I was very troubled by the fact, you know, as this went on, I said, look at this. This is a great plan. I remember going over it in detail on the air. And yet, as time went on, I never heard President Trump talk about that. President Trump really never clarified that for Marco Rubio. It was like he didn't know what Marco Rubio was talking about. And I think he really didn't. I don't think he ever read that program, and I don't think the people who wrote that are probably in the White House anymore. They probably got shoved out along with General Flynn at the beginning of the administration, if they were ever there. And now we have Lan He Chin, a former advisor to Mitt Romney, RomneyCare, no different from Obamacare. He says this, in the long run, I think what we've done will be consequential and it will be important. And yes, they are setting up a single-payer system, not getting rid of Obamacare, not restricting it. They're ramping up everything in the welfare state and putting in universal basic income because, you know, we're all paupers now because we can't work. We're not allowed to work. Rabobank says the Fed has just carved central planning into the bedrock of the U.S. financial system. Now we have, after the Easter weekend, a world where the Fed has begun a $2.3 trillion liquidity injection in the U.S. economy. They will purchase 95% participations in loans through, and listen to all these different programs. I'm just going to rattle them off. The Main Street Lending Program from banks who will retain 5%, but that's just the beginning. They've also got the Main Street New Loan Facility, the MSNLF. They've got the Main Street Extended Loan Facility, MSELF. They have the Paycheck Protection Program Liquidity Facility, PPPLF, the Municipal Liquidity Facility, MLP, the Primary and Secondary Market Corporate Credit Facilities, PMCCF, and SMCCF, and the Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility, TALF, T-A-L-F. Poof, just like that, Trump has created a full spectrum of government welfare programs and make-work programs and loan programs and $2.3 trillion worth of programs. He's created more programs than FDR did because he's just created a greater depression than FDR did. They go on to say, quantitative easing is not printing money, but an impossible to pronounce asset swap, where one of the assets is created out of thin air to bail out the other side of the deal. Even the Wall Street Journal has this to say. It's also putting the future of American capitalism at risk in a way even the financial panic did not. The Fed and Treasury are becoming the main lenders to American business. And in this storm, there is no choice. But will they ever recede and go home when the virus is defeated? Because it's now been defeated. No. We'll be right back. Call this segment here Petty Tyrants and Grand Larceny. Because, you know, we steal an entire country's wealth. That is grand larceny, if ever there was a grand larceny. But We have a lot of little petty tyrants everywhere, all over the world, as a matter of fact. Everybody is getting on their little power trip. I have power. I can go out here. I can fly my helicopter around and find people that are camping out in remote areas I can't even get to with a helicopter. I'll land my helicopter somewhere and I'll hike over there to them and tell them, you go home. You go home. Social distancing. Yeah, this is house arrest, folks. I have power. I have power, right? Tourists in India. This is straight out of The Simpsons. Bart Simpson, you know, they open every episode. He's writing something on the wall. I will not do blah, blah, blah. And he's writing it over and over again. It's punishment, right? Tourist in India forced to write sorry 500 times over breaching lockdown in India. And that is spelled S-O-R-R-Y, not S-A-R-Y, the dresses that they wear in India. Literally what they had to say, I did not follow the rules of lockdown, so I am sorry. And they would have to write that 500 times. This is what this little petty police officer did to the tourists. Seriously, he must be watching reruns of The Simpsons or something. I don't know. Is this still on the air? 10 foreigners who broke a coronavirus lockdown in Indian town had to write that 500 times because the local police officer is in charge. I'm going to show you. We need an army, says Partners in Health. This is a NGO out of Boston that is affiliated with all of the usual suspects in the health industry that has been pushing vaccines and so forth. And so now they want an army of people to track you down. Now, in one sense, this is something they're advertising for 500 people. I said, we're going to have to get up there to 1,000. In one sense, they have done contact tracing when you've had other epidemics. You know, we have something that's really serious, like, let's say, cholera outbreak or whatever, or smallpox. You know, that was where the guy who came up with the curve, that bell-shaped curve, you know, whoop, that goes up. Farr's Law, he came up with that in 1840 because they had a cholera epidemic in London. They had an antiquated, nasty sewer system. They called it the London stench, and people were getting very sick and getting cholera. And he started studying that. He also studied smallpox. Now, that's something you should be afraid of, not COVID-19. But anyway, we do have herd immunity to that. We had it prior to a vaccine, by the way. You know, the Indians did not have it, but you know, Pocahontas' ancestors did not have it. But anyway, these people are now doing contact tracing for what is essentially a easily spread flu. So understand, and I'm going to explain that. And you may think that I'm making light of this disease. I don't make light of any disease. I don't make light of old age either. You know, I'm sorry to see Joe Biden in such bad condition, even though I despise him politically and what he's tried to do to this country. I don't wish death and senility on anybody. But, you know, it's something that awaits everybody if we live long enough. Death awaits us all if we live long enough. That's one of the things that should come out of this panic for everybody to understand. But, you know, we have this kind of tracking that has happened. This is being done by hand. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, was this a bunch of an army of snitches? Well, you know, we do have that as well. And we have something that is far worse than this. As they point out, this is kind of old-fashioned. It's kind of the shoe leather approach. You have to be concerned about the apps that are being put out there. You have to be concerned about the fact that we have Google and Apple, the two big smartphone people that are out there saying, yeah, we're going to put stuff on here. It's going to track you down. Track you down. If you test positive. And again, there's a lot of questions about the accuracy of this test. Like I tweeted out over the weekend. You can find me at Libertarian. I said, you know, just flip a coin. Because, you know, with a coin, you've only got two possibilities, heads or tails. With this COVID test, you've got four possibilities. You got a positive, negative, you got a false positive, you got a false negative. And now you've got these doctors who are so concerned about it, they said, you know, we really don't trust these results. And so we think that even if somebody gets a negative, we ought to put them down as a positive. Now they put you down as a positive, they're going to start tracking. That's real freedom issues involved in that. They use that as an excuse to track you. So this is Partners in Health. They're going to eventually put in 1,000 people. American Conservative, however, points out the fact that we now have really kind of a crowdsourcing snitch society. I'll call the United Stasi of America is what we're becoming. In East Germany, after that all collapsed, I remember an op-ed piece by a woman who was a committed communist. She was an American. And she loved communism so much. She was kind of like Ilhan or AOC. She loved communism so much. And she was a sociologist, of course. And she decided that she would go live under East Germany, in East Germany. And she married an East German. But because she was an American, even though she was a dyed-in-the-wool communist, she loved it as much as Bernie Sanders or Mayor de Blasio. But, you know, they were American. And so they were very suspicious of her and her husband. And so some funny things started happening after they got married. And after East Germany collapsed, they released a lot of papers from the Stasi files. Because, you know, they not only liked to watch everybody, but they liked to record everything as well. They were kind of manic about that. Obsessive. And she found out, like a lot of other people, that they had all these different people who were snitching on her. And she was so offended. Not at the communists. Not at the authoritarianism of it. Or the totalitarianism. Because it was about every detail of their life. She was offended that her friends would be snitches. Her closest friends were informing on her to the government. And they found out that close friends were informing on close friends. And they didn't know that the friends that they were informing on were also informing on them. I mean, this is the society that it turned into. And that's what we're turning into here in America. As American Conservative writes, the coronavirus lockdowns are putting our entire social fiber at risk. The initial solidarity of the response to the coronavirus was overwhelming. People clapped for hospital staff and so forth. And those who objected to lockdown policies were few, like me and you, and quickly dismissed as naysayers, as contrarians, or you know, some people have called us kooks, or as Scott Adams said, you know, it's getting harder and harder to distinguish those freedom lovers from sociopaths. Yeah. Good job, Scott. And I replied, I said, yes, getting harder and harder to distinguish these pragmatists from totalitarians, because that's what you're turning the society in. You're becoming a snitch society. The initial solidarity has now been replaced by a fear that is being fanned through constant breaking news updates. We're regularly given new infection and death rates that lack any context. Oh, two people died. Cower in fear. Two people out of how many? 1.3 million here in Austin? Right? No context given to the death. Did they die from it or with it? Were there underlying health conditions? We don't know. The average age of the coronavirus victim is 86. Nevertheless, we've got people like Piers Morgan saying people who go to a party, they're like traitors. And he had over 200 comments calling for the death penalty of people like that. Just like Scott Adams. It's getting harder and harder to distinguish freedom lovers from sociopaths and terrorists.
Without the freedom to offend, there is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I've got to go quickly. I've got so many articles here that I want to catch up on. A lot of topics here. Talking again about hashtag Constitution distancing. I want to talk about our upcoming Groundhog Day when they're going to let us come out of our holes and look at the shadow of death, and they're going to see if we tremble and go back inside or not. yeah, we got a lot of people that are starting to push back against this. But first, let's talk about the petty tyrants that are out there. As I was saying, you know, we've got people like Piers Morgan saying that people who go to a park are like traitors, and got 200 people leaving a comment on that post saying they need the death penalty. Because if you are suspected infected, you are to be treated like a terrorist because you're going to kill them. That's what they have been gaslighted into by the media, the panicked media. Sociologist Patrick Bergamon, author of Judge Thy Neighbor, said that in Nazi Germany, an estimated 42% of the denunciations were false. Authorities debated changing the system, but they ultimately decided to keep it because it was great to keep everybody in line. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're turning into here in the United States, United Stasi of America. They've had 800 emails and phone calls coming into the City of London's own snitch line in just one weekend. Denunciation has become a hobby. In Germany, social scientists are worried because of these thousands of snitch calls that are piling up per day. Well, why do they worry about that? You know, we talk about Goodwin's Law, right? When you start talking about somebody, you know, eventually you get to the point where you accuse them of being a Nazi, right, if you disagree with them. That's Goodwin's Law. The problem is that Germany's already been there. They've been through Nazi Germany. They've experienced the East German Stasis after that. And so they're very frightened about what they see. This is a pattern of behavior. It's no exaggeration. I played for you, Gov School. I began with a scene from The Great Escape after they made their escape and they're trying to get through occupied France and they're stopped by the Nazis and they're asked for their identification papers, please. And now President Trump is proposing that governors do that to you if you cross state lines. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable to me to see this is happening in this country. The use of nurses and doctors for public messaging has given the impression that those who argue in favor of government measures are actually sitting on a high horse. And I showed how the California governor had a parade of people in white coats precede him, as if he were royalty, coming out onto the stage in their white coats. They had left, unfortunately, their stethoscopes behind. I guess that would have been a little bit too obvious, but they come out in their white coats and they stand there with their arms crossed, waiting for him to come to the podium. It is an argument from authority. I'm a doctor. Good job, guys. Thanks for pulling that up. Yeah, we've shown that a number of times. Look at that. This is a pageant. Whenever I'm out and about and I refuse to wear my mask and somebody says anything to me about it, I say, I'm sorry, I'm not participating in the wag the dog pageant. I'm not participating in this. You shouldn't participate in it either. It's comparable to the use of gun violence victims in order to push for stricter public policy on firearms or using vaping illnesses to push for the restrictions on e-cigs, which President Trump did because he doesn't appreciate the concept of individual freedom and choice. He's a billionaire, and like every billionaire, he knows better than you. You're an ignorant hoi poi. Because he's got more money, he thinks he's got more brains. And many people think that he does have more brains because he's got more money. It's kind of like Fiddler on the Roof. All day long, I would pontificate, right? And if I was rich, people would think I really knew. And they really do. They really do. The use of tragic cases of alcoholism, for example, to push alcohol prohibition. Or to use three buildings that fall right into their footprint. Even though there's only two planes that hit two of those buildings, the third one just did it magically, you know? And we can use that and the tragedy of these victims who were killed by whoever did that to create a war on terror and take away that major hunk of the Constitution. Now this Patriot Act for healthcare is going to take away the rest of it. If the lockdown continues, we'll soon be looking at the creation of a black market that will have underground parties, secret barbers, and fake documents. Hey, we'll have speakeasies, right? Yeah, I'm here for the ethanol subsidy, right? Knock on the door. Yeah, that's an article from the American Conservative. Coronavirus is exposing little tyrants all over the country, writes the Federalist, talking about what happened in Louisville, Kentucky, and how the federal judge fortunately took that back. That was a great decision. I read that earlier in the week. The judge talked about Alexis de Tocqueville. I mean, that is a real judge who really understands what this country is about, who values individual liberty and choice, but not in California. Just like that little Indian police job that had the 10 tourists who violated his orders write down 500 times, I violated lockdown and I am very sorry. I violated lockdown. I'm very 500 times. Deputies in California issue citations to 22 people who were just watching the sunset at a beach in Encinitas, I think is the way you pronounce it. It's in San Diego. They were watching the sunset, said the police. Quote, we were watching the sunset having picnics near the beach. The sheriff department found that to be damning. So they quoted that and said, everyone is required to stay home. And the violations carry fines of up to $1,000 or 6 months in jail or both. This is crossing guard mentality. I've said before, I became a libertarian when I was in first grade. I used to walk home all the time. One day, a crossing guard decided that I didn't know how to walk across the street because I don't even remember if it was a boy or a girl. He or she had a shiny orange stripe that they wore, you know, a sash from the shoulder to the waist. And that somehow gave them power over me. It somehow, even though there was no traffic, and I knew there was no traffic, and they knew there was no traffic, they were going to have me wait there until they said I could cross. And I wasn't going to wait there until I could cross. This is what we're seeing right now. We have got millions of crossing guards that have been newly empowered across this country, giving people arbitrary nonsense rules. It's just absolutely amazing to see this. In Korea, electric bans for those who break quarantine. I will show you. You know, we'll go the full Milgram experiment, right? Maybe if they put the electric bans on people, maybe they let the cops in Korea sit there and turn up the electricity, right, as their superiors are telling them what to do. This is being put on by the senior health ministry official, Yoon Tae-ho. On Saturday, acknowledged the privacy and civil liberty concerns surrounding the bans. Yeah, we've got some concerns about that. But, you know, I really do support the Second Amendment, but I'm going to take away your gun. I really do support civil liberty, but I'm going to lock you down in your home. He'll be forced to police and local administrative officials. They will be the ones who are the goons who do this for the medical tyrants, the medical bureaucratic tyrants. And then, as I pointed out yesterday, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, if you violate their stay-at-home orders, they will fine you up to $750,000 and up to 6 months in jail. If you do it and they say that you've exposed somebody, they will go up to a $1 million fine and 3 years in jail. I saw that, as I pointed out yesterday, and I thought, wait a minute, is that for real? And they had a link to the actual RCMP site, and that's exactly it. But of course, you know, if we talk about freedom, we are the sociopaths, not these Mounties doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, when we look at the hatred that is coming out, you know, the attitude, freedom lovers, it's getting harder and harder to tell those freedom lovers from sociopaths. You know, we talked about the actions of the police this last Easter weekend in Kentucky. At one of these churches, you had people putting nails. They actually were not concerned about their own safety because they went outside of their home and they were not required to stay home. The police didn't write them, but they put nails at all the entrances into the parking lot. Some of the people going there put covers over their license plates because they threatened to take their license plate and put them in a two-week quarantine. And so then the cops took their VIN numbers because the cops weren't worried about quarantine. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I want to talk about the fact that these little petty tyrants that I've been talking about, all these little emperors everywhere, and including the big emperors, you know, President Fauci and his sidekick, Trump, all these people have unfortunately lost their pandemic narrative now. It's very clear that these little emperors have lost their clothes. Quite frankly, folks are standing there butt naked, and it's about time we start laughing at them and pointing out their little problems. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about how our majesties are saying that they're going to somehow treat us like human beings again, but with many, many restrictions. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you about the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com because we now have storable food back in stock. There is a 7-week delay because, again, there's been so much disruption to the food supply, and I've got more to talk about that as well. When we talk about Groundhog Day, will Americans be too frightened to leave their holes? You know, is the shadow of Fauci going to loom over them and scare them back into their holes or not? Well, we'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, we have a lot of problems with the food supply. They have flattened the food supply. They have flattened your future. But, you know, If you can get this stuff, you need to prepare for it now. They're even making it difficult to get seeds. I mean, I just cannot believe when I last went to the store, and it's been a while now because most of the stores in this area demand that you wear your face covering over your face, and I refuse to do that. So if my choice is to go to a big box retailer because they've closed all the mom and pops, so if I have to go to a Walmart or some other big box retailer that is allowed to stay open after all the small businesses have shut, I might as well just go to Amazon, right? I don't like Jeff Bezos, but I don't like these other people either. I don't want to have that choice. I want there to be freedom, and we've got to just open up. Hey, folks, you got a small business in the Austin area? Let me know. I'll patronize you if you don't make me wear a mask. We'll publicize it, as a matter of fact. No mask. this is like the days, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Well, you know, now I'm the pariah. I'm like some kind of a beach bum that they don't want to have in there. But anyway, you can buy your products online. You don't have to go to Amazon. You don't have to go to Walmart. You can get your food online. And the food that you buy from InfoWarsStore.com supports free speech. And it also is going to be there in case you don't need it. You'll have it for 25 years. I've still got the food that I bought back during the Ebola pandemic that was pushed by Fauci. I was concerned about that. Really was. I was not concerned about this one. And I'd already prepared. And I still have that. It's made in the USA. It's non-GMO. You can store it for 25 years. And even after you open it, you can reseal it for a while. So, you know, it's worth a seven-week delay on that. Also, we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. If you want to make sure that you got a good baseline of vitamins and minerals and amino acids, and especially things like zinc, which has now become unobtainium. You can't find it anywhere because people have clued in to the fact that zinc is antiviral. Yeah, just look it up. That's what many people understand. And so you can get that and many other things that are essential for your health. You can get it 50% off. You don't have to take a lot of pills. You can get your vitamins and minerals and a drink mix, and you can make that drink taste any way you want. And again, you don't have to swallow a lot of pills. I like that. And finally, we have vitamin D3, winter sun. You know, one of the things that people have said, and it's just amazing to me, see people getting arrested for watching the sunset on a beach, you know, 50 feet apart from each other, because people are going back and saying, you know, this is really pretty simple. We need to do a couple of things. We need to make sure that we redesign buildings so we got sunlight and fresh air. Why? Because sunlight helps your body to manufacture D3. It's actually a hormone. We call it a vitamin, but it is actually a hormone. And you can supplement that if you are locked up and locked down and shut in. That's why we call it winter sun. It's one of the reasons why everybody was saying, hey, you know, this whole thing is going to really tamp down once summer gets here and, you know, once people start getting out in the sunlight. Well, it is very effective. Doesn't fight. It's not antiviral like zinc is. But what it does is it helps to calm and order your immune system, essentially, is the way it's been described by people at the NIH, the National Institute of Health. I guess they are the authorities, right, on everything that has to do with health. They say it, but don't believe it because they say it. Believe it because everybody else says it. But even they say it. Even they can't deny the fact that vitamin D3 is essential to the proper functioning of your immune system. They have correlated it to autoimmune disease onset as well as the severity of autoimmune diseases. So make sure that you supplement with vitamin D3 if you can't get out in the sun, or just make sure you've always got a baseline of it. Let's talk about how these little emperors, however, have not only lost their pants, but their pandemic. We've got a company, for example, in L.A. is being shamed. Why? Because they lied about a family dying from COVID-19, they put it out. They put together an ad that was posted out on Facebook, and a mother, this reported out of L.A. CBS, a mother claims that a company falsely advertised that four members of her family died fighting COVID-19, so they could sell face masks on Facebook. Oh, right, of course. Face masks on Facebook. It's a natural place that you would do that, right? The two of them just go hand in glove. Oh, yeah, that thing, too. They probably sell gloves as well. It's a story that tugs at your heartstrings. An entire family killed by COVID-19, except for a young boy, because he wore his mask. And you can get a mask like this right here. See this family here? We got this poster of the family, and they all died except the boy who wore his mask. Maybe he had striped pajamas. You ever see that movie, The Boy with Striped Pajamas? About a kid in a prison camp, and the kid that was on the outside, they met through the fence, and he thought he had striped pajamas. He didn't realize he was a prisoner. Maybe a lot of you don't realize you're prisoners when you wear your mask. The problem is, though, that this story, none of it was true. And the mother says she has no idea how the company got her family's photo to use it in the ad, except that a few years earlier she'd gone to a professional photographer to get a holiday card, and this guy sold the picture. How fitting, because that's what Facebook does. They sell your data and your face and all the information that they collect on you. They sell that not only to commercial ventures, but they sell it to the government. Yeah. And so this photographer sold her picture, and then it wound up on Facebook in an ad. So they said they started getting calls from people who recognized them, and they said, are you okay? We haven't heard from you for a while. And they said, she said, who would have the audacity to clearly not know a family and what they had died of? To say that somebody had died and you make up a false narrative about what they died of? Now, let me tell you something. The CDC has done this thousands upon thousands of times. They have presumed that it was COVID-19, people who have died. And they have used this not to sell face masks. They've used this to sell something that is far more dangerous and insidious. They've used this to sell the idea that they, the health bureaucrats, should be put in charge of our government and our economy. They will tell us everything in our life that we can do. It is a prescription, an RX for totalitarianism. That's exactly what the CDC has done. This lady said, the mother, you know, this is on the forefront of everybody's mind in the news and everything, and how quickly it's taking lives. It could so clearly be true. She said this even though this is a picture of her family. I guess it could be true. I guess we could have all died, and you know, maybe this is like, you know, that I see dead people everywhere, right? Anyway, I just talked about it yesterday. How, you know, we've got doctor whistleblowers, state legislators who are doctors saying they're telling us to presume COVID-19. You know, that's exactly what the CDC is doing, what they did in this article. The company wanted to sell them as, we're presuming that they died of COVID-19. And, oh, by the way, you know, there's a payoff on this, too. As you pointed out, you diagnose somebody with COVID-19 in your hospital, doesn't matter what else they're in there for. You get $13,000 from the government. You put them on a ventilator, which, by the way, is almost kind of like giving them Ebola. You know, 80% of the people that they put on the ventilators die? That's right up there with Ebola. It's like, you got COVID-19. Give him a shot of Ebola. Let's see how he does with that. Oh, well, it was a COVID-19 that killed him, not the Ebola, not the ventilator. Not the prescription drugs. Yeah, this is how they are coaching people. That was the words of the state senator, Senator Dr. Scott Jensen in Minnesota. When we come back, we'll talk about how the pants have fallen off of the little emperors who are trying to run our society. And we'll poke a little bit of fun at what it has exposed. When we come back, stay with us.
Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Cheryl Trumbly, writing for the Washington Times, points out that the coronavirus case and death counts in the U.S. are ridiculously low. And as I said before, at the beginning of the program, you have to understand they've created their program that can completely constructed their smart city house of tyranny, their stay-at-home gulag, controlling your movements, and creating a program of austerity to control you, to surveil you. They didn't have the appropriate plug in, however. You know, it was all based on the UN 2030 agenda for sustainability. It was all about environmentalism. And, you know, you had the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and so forth. You had ClimateGate, where they were caught cooking the data. You know, these models just don't add up. We're going to have to hide the decline in temperatures and so forth. They were exposed over and over again. People were not buying the we're all going to die thing. And so they kept the entire structure of regulations and what they wanted society to look like. And instead, at the last minute, they just pulled out the climate change narrative, that alarmism, and they inserted pandemic. And we've got people who call me a pandemic denier, you know, just like I've been called a climate denier because I don't buy their phony models. And when I push back on that, I'm accused of not understanding math. Look, all you do is you just take the numbers from the CDC and you plug them into your calculator. It's just that simple. That's how you do math by these so-called journalists. Except that the CDC has always lied to us about this. And people like John Hopkins University, who, by the way, along, you know, they're funded by Bloomberg and Gates. They were the ones who put out that Event 201 simulation, but they've done many such simulations in the past. And so now John Hopkins University is coming out. And as of April the 13th, Monday, they said at that point in time, there were 557,590 confirmed cases. Now, you have to understand there's differences between confirmed and estimated. You know, just like we've got to put in a fudge factor here. Now, we don't know how they confirm that. Does the test even work? But, you know, the real interesting games begin once they start to estimate these things up. Well, with that many cases, 557,000 so, they've had just over 22,000 deaths. Now, Cheryl Chumley says, do the math. Use those numbers. You don't like the CDC's numbers? Well, use the ones from John Hopkins. You know, plug them into your calculator. If you do that, what you get is 0.17% of the American population infected. And that means that 0.007%, there you go, bond, 0.007%, 007% of America's population has died from the coronavirus. She says, we think. Because, of course, you know, these numbers are always in flux. They're always being estimated. Sometimes they up the denominator. Sometimes they up the numerator. They're always in flux. They're always adjusting this to try to push forward the agenda that they want. As John Hopkins also notes, it all depends on the testing. With more testing, more people with milder cases are identified. People who, as they're exposed to this world-ending disease, don't even know they've got it. And what happens is this lowers the case fatality ratio, the CFR. That means the number of positive coronavirus cases will increase as testing increases, but very likely the number of coronavirus fatalities will drop at the same time. And as I have said, it's a two-step process. Number one, you overstate the case fatality ratio. By using, you know, you don't estimate up one or the other, or you take a very small sample. So you basically create the perception that everybody gets this is going to die. Then the next thing you do is you say, oh, and it's spreading faster than we thought, and look at how many people have it now. So everybody, we're all going to die. Let's go hide in our Groundhog Day holes. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. It looks like the pandemic has collapsed. Everybody is saying it now. You know, you got Mario Cuomo, who is at the center, ground center, the most dangerous place on earth, New York City. Everything's been shut down. And yet he's one of the first people to come out and say, we got to open up. It's over. Everybody come out. And Cheryl Chumley was just saying, if you go through the numbers that have been released by John Hopkins University, they're the ones who've been showing that scary chart with the big red dots on it and all that kind of stuff. They're funded by Bloomberg, funded by Gates and so forth. running the pandemic simulations, the most recent one this fall, 201 event, and so forth. If you do the math of what they've said in terms of number of deaths, number of confirmed cases, if you look at the fact that, according to the worldometers.info, we have 330 million people. Now they say, well, 557,000 of them have COVID. Okay, well, that means that we've had 0.17, about one-fifth of a percent of the people in America have been infected with this. And we have shut down the entire country for this. They have not flattened the curve. They have not protected us. They flattened our food supply. They flattened our income. They flattened our jobs. All this is flatlined. They flattened the Constitution and your future. And then when you look at the fatality rate, it is 0.007%. There's actually another two zeros in there if you don't put it as a percent of the people who have died from it. But we don't really know because they're still adjusting the figures, right? You know, as I say, statistics don't lie, but liars use statistics. And you won't find any bigger liars than the CDC. And yet, you know, Mike Adams said that I can't do math. CDC can do math. CDC always tells the truth. Trust the CDC, says Mike. Mike, you just need to understand that you've been pwned. You have been pwned about this. You have become a pandemic alarmist. I'm a denier. I admit it. I'm a denier. I know it's a religion to you. But just like climate change is a religion to many people, you have used this panic to profit off of it. Stanford professor claims that the coronavirus death rate is likely orders of magnitude lower than first thought. This is another guy who can't do math, Mike. Stanford University professor of medicine, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, was on Tucker Carlson. He said, per case, I don't think it's as deadly as people thought. The World Health Organization put out an estimate that was, I think, initially 3.4%. It's very unlikely it is anywhere near that. It's much, much more likely, much closer to the death rate that you see from the flu. From the flu. The problem, of course, is that we don't have a vaccine, though, he added. We don't. See, that's the problem. That is the solution. They've created this problem by lying about statistics. And here's a solution they want you to have. We don't have a vaccine. And so this doctor from Stanford University says, so in that sense, it's more deadly and widespread than the flu because it overwhelmed hospital systems the way that the flu doesn't because people got it all at once. It was a new flu that was out there. Now, let me explain to you, as I've pointed out many times, the flu vaccine is totally ineffective. You may be harmed by the adjuvants in it. You may be harmed by the preservatives in it. But you're not going to be helped by the flu vaccine. It's going to challenge your immune system, which means you're more likely to get the flu. But they don't even know what strain of the flu they're going to be vaccinating people for because it's constantly changing. That's why it's not effective. And so the flu doesn't really help with that. There is a, see, the vaccines don't convey herd immunity. That's what the doctor doesn't understand. Real herd immunity is conveyed when people are exposed to something. And the reason that you've seen a major surge in the hospitals is because this is a different strain of flu that people haven't seen before. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. But they've used this as an opportunity to take over our country. That's what you should be angry about. I mean, even people like Bill Maher talks about that. Don't take the flu vaccine. It'll just make you sick. Everybody I know that's gotten the flu vaccine, they get sick immediately. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a total fraud. And they continue to push it. And people weren't buying it. People weren't getting it. You know, you go anywhere. You go to, you know, get a fill up at the gas station, get a shot in your arm of the flu shot. I mean, is that ridiculous? And people weren't doing it. So they've got to come up with something to mandate that and to push people into doing that, to take over healthcare, to take over our freedoms, to take over our government. COVID-19 fatality rates vary widely, says The Hill. Leaving questions for scientists. The virus so far has killed about 23,000 people, but the true mortality rate is almost certainly much lower. All right, we were told at the beginning they said it was just over 4%, but now it is much lower. Studies have shown that many infected with the virus show no symptoms, nothing worse than a common cold, suggesting that the actual number of people who have contracted the virus is much larger than the 579,000 who had tested positive as of Tuesday morning. So that's their conclusion. Oh, we think it's a much less estimate that number up, right? So in New York, the epicenter of the outbreak in the U.S., The Hill says, they have recorded 10,000 deaths out of 195,000 cases, a fatality rate of 5.1%. Now, again, do you trust New York to accurately report coronavirus cases when the CDC is telling doctors to presume that it is coronavirus if they see anything that is flu-like or respiratory issues? That's one of the reasons why the number of flu cases went straight down, because they started telling people, don't call it the flu, call it the coronavirus. And that's how they get the coronavirus deaths up and the flu cases drop. Now, these are people who don't honestly count votes. So you think that they're going to honestly count the coronavirus when they're incentivized and told to count it this way? New York City, however, has now posted a sharp spike in coronavirus deaths. Oh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Is that scary? Well, that's the way it's reported in headlines. You see from NPR, New York City's COVID-19 death toll soars past 10,000. Reuters points out, however, this is after untested victims were added. Do you understand what this is? So the headlines that we're seeing screaming from a lot of the mainstream media is, look at this. This proves it, because we have seen the death count spike. Why the death count spike? Well, they added people who died. They didn't even test to see if coronavirus was present. So we don't even know if they died with coronavirus, let alone from coronavirus. You understand the difference? I mean, you can have all these other health conditions, as we're talking about from the very beginning in Italy. The Italian, before we even locked down America, that's why there's absolutely no excuse for President Trump. We had multiple reports coming out from Italy before this all happened. And as they were telling everybody, look at this, it's worse than China and so forth. And we've locked down the country. And of course, it didn't work to lock down the country, did it? By their own admission. And we said, look at this, the average age is slightly over 80. And if you look at the people who died, about 45% of them have at least 3 serious comorbidities, other factors present at the same time. And yet, what they said was, well, yeah, but if coronavirus is there, even if they're over 80, and even if they've got 3 serious health conditions simultaneously, we're going to call it a coronavirus death. And now what they're doing in New York City is they're not even looking to see if coronavirus is present. Not even testing to see if it's present, let alone knowing that it's the underlying cause. So as we look at at NPR, the way they sell it, they're selling it to you. New York City has drastically increased its estimate. Its estimate. That's the key term here. They have recalculated the toll that the virus has taken. They've reached a staggering number. It's a toll. It is staggering. But it is estimated. And it is untested. But then they say this from the city health commissioner, because again, this is NPR, and they're selling this kind of government narrative for health bureaucrats to rule us. Behind every death is a friend, a family member, a loved one. We are focused on ensuring that every New Yorker who died because of COVID-19 gets counted. Well, you know, that is a tragedy. And as I said, it is also a tragedy that over 100,000 people die just from prescription drugs alone, not even counting mistakes by doctors. Is that a tragedy? Should those people be honored? Or maybe the CDC should lie about their deaths in order to increase their political power over our lives. Yeah, welcome back. As we've talked about the fact that the models that have been put out by the CDC, the NIH, actually use the models that were created by Washington State University. But they were, you know, they were put out there, put forward by the NIH, the CDC, just like President Trump has used the false information that was given to him by Fauci. So, you know, if you use these people's information and you refer to them as authorities, you own that. And the number of ventilators that they modeled that we would need, because they got everything about it wrong, was about 40 times the number that we actually needed, which is a good thing because now many are writing, as Mike Whitney of Global Research is pointing out, asking the question, are ventilators killing more people than they're saving? Is this bringing up the death rate of people who are suffering from influenza-like symptoms? Because I've seen some figures quoted as high as 80%. As a matter of fact, we're talking about whether or not Prime Minister Boris Johnson was going to be put on the ventilator. They were saying, well, you know, that's pretty much a death sentence. Some of the statistics that have come out said that of 37 critically ill COVID-19 patients who were put on mechanical ventilators, 30 died within a month. In the U.S., a study of patients in Seattle, only one of seven patients, that's 14%, older than 70 who were put on a ventilator survived. Only 36% of those who were younger than 70 survived. Maybe we ought to rethink that. Right? Maybe we ought to rethink the prescription drugs. You know, just going back to recent years, 2015, for example, the Food and Drug Administration said 100,000 Americans die from reactions to prescription drugs each year. The number of people that died from illegal drugs, they said at the time, was 10,000. So that's 10 times, roughly, the number of people who die from illegal drugs. So we're not talking about drug abuse or drug overdose, things like the opioid epidemic, which the federal government gave a pass on that for a long time. And then once it became such a giant problem, they gave a little wrist slap to the companies. They didn't confiscate their assets like they do on the war on drugs. No. They negotiated with their attorneys. And they came up with a negotiated settlement. But here are some of the side effects that come with prescription drugs and what some of the things that they can do to you. You have drainage, crusting, or oozing of your eyes or eyelids, swollen, black, tongue. You can have changes in the shape or location of body fat. You can have purple spots on your skin. You can have unusual risk-taking behavior. You can have extreme fear. You could have hallucinations, fainting, coma. You could cry for an hour or longer, paralysis, or bleeding into your chest, a blood clot in your lungs, liver damage, kidney damage, decreased bone marrow, congestive heart failure, shingles, bleeding that will not stop, coughing up blood or vomit that looks like coffee grounds. And here's one drug on the market. Evamist, a treatment for menopause symptoms, things like hot flashes. Okay, so you get rid of your hot flashes, maybe. But here are some of the other symptoms that you get from this, as you would see on a typical Fox News or CNN or MSNBC commercial where they list all the different side effects. But, you know, if it does help you with your hot flashes, you may have side effects that include cancer, stroke, heart attack, blood clots, and dementia. So, you know, that's okay, right? You know, I can read off these things. That sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? And every day that goes by, we see mainstream media or the Drudge Report say, look at this, you know, we got dementia coming from people who had COVID-19 and recovered or whatever. You can scare people to death with any disease, any condition, any drug, right? And I think you should be scared of these. I think you should be scared of these drugs. It's not irrational to do that. So we can look at this. Now we've got a lot of people pointing out again that it looks like, hey, now that we've been given the numbers, I've given you already two other sources that say, yeah, it looks like it's just like the seasonal flu. Here's another one from Gateway Pundit. Big news. New study finds 28 million Americans likely infected by the coronavirus and puts the U.S. mortality rate at 0.1%, just like the seasonal flu. Another group of people that can't do math, you know, the Gateway Pundit. Another group of people here, the economists, they can't do math either. Just like those Stanford epidemiologists who said at the beginning, they have predicted, and ignoring the Farr's Law, you know, looking at the bell curve, they said every person infected is going to, in their model, they say every person infected is going to infect another 2.3 people, and it's not going to stop. It's just going to keep going. And we had all the dire predictions. Everybody's going to get it. We're all going to die, too. You know, first they said, look at this. 4%, 5% of the people are dying that get it. And we're all going to get it. And so then they start projecting it out by millions of people, right? And it turns out, you know, President Trump said, I had a couple of very smart people come and tell me what was going to happen. And those two smart people he's now admitted, or Dr. Fauci has admitted, I should say President Fauci has admitted, since he's now the president of this post-constitutional government that we have now. President Fauci admitted that he and Dr. Birx were the two experts that had persuaded President Trump. First, I told them 2.2 million. Then they said 1 million. Then they said, dropped it down by a factor of 10, 200 million, 200,000, then 100,000. And then a couple of days later, it was 80,000. And then 2 days later, it was 60,000 and on, right? Yeah, we've been had. What are we going to do about this? Are we going to let these people stay in power? Are we going to get anxious, angry about this? You know, we go back and we look at it again. Everything that they do, they do a mixture. Sometimes they will, they will divide actual confirmed cases that they've tested by an estimated number of people that have it. So you have, actual versus estimated. Sometimes they'll do estimated divided by estimated. Sometimes they will take estimated divided by estimated and compare that to actual versus actual. Statistics don't lie, but liars use statistics. It's not about math, Mike. It's about that. You should understand that. Justin Silverman, Alex Washburn, and The Economist talk about this. They said, we just decided that anybody that has influenza-like illness, they call that ILI. ILI, illy. Are you feeling kind of illy today? things like, I can't smell. Yeah, that always happens to me when I get the flu or a cold. I can't smell. My nose stops up. I can't smell. It's just crazy, isn't it? They don't test nearly all the people that are suspected infected. Maybe we should change the name of this thing. Maybe we should call it, since this is really something, a flu, it's a snowflake flu. Maybe we should call it the Snowflake 19 pandemic. You know, this is for the snowflakes who want to shelter in place because they're scared. And so now, even if people don't have that, even if they got non-flu illy, influenza-like illnesses, we're going to count them as well. And they say in this article, COVID-19 takes 20 to 25 days to kill victims. So The Economist is looking at some research papers that were put out by John Hopkins. Oh, that's venerable. Believe everything they say, just like NPR, the crew reminded me over the break, NPR pushing that, saying what a tragedy this is and so forth. NPR brought to you by a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Yeah, why would they start to push this whole plandemic thing, right? Well, they say here, the paper reckons that 7 million Americans were infected from March 18th to 14th. The official data shows 7,000 deaths 3 weeks later. The resulting fatality rate is 0.1%, similar to that of flu, exactly identical to what the inflated estimated numbers from the CDC about flu were. Amazingly low.
Defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've had, since President Trump was elected, we've had Democrats trying to make him illegitimate. And, the irony of all this was that they said, we have some inflated counts, which I don't believe, coming out of places like New York and California, where we know the Democrats stuffed the ballot. Oh, look, we got more popular vote over there. But of course, the Electoral College is what counts, right? Under the Constitution, under the rules. And so the Democrats are working very hard to subvert that, to get around the rules. They know they don't have the votes to actually amend the Constitution and do it legally. So they're working on ways, state compact where they will all change their Electoral College votes, in many cases throwing out their own voters' votes to come up with some kind of, national popular vote type of thing. So by their own actions, they admit that President Trump won according to the rules as they try to get around the rules. And then when that didn't work, you had a sneering little bureaucrat, Peter Strzok, who made up a lie to try to take President Trump out. Said, I've got a plan B. We'll take him out, right? And we all saw him sneering on television. Then you had a preening little lieutenant colonel to you, Vindman, who, wanted to wear his uniform and his medals and all this other kind of stuff. There he is, that's Peter Strzok. Vindman, wanted to pull his rank and so forth. They made up a completely absurd situation. They did get an impeachment charge out of the Democrat House, but it was purely political. Everybody could see that ploy, right? And so they've tried to delegitimize President Trump two different times. They tried to delegitimize him with the election itself and then admitted that, yeah, he did win by the rules, so let's change the rules. But now President Trump has gotten behind a guy who has the demeanor of Peter Strzok and the arrogance and the credentialism, the argument from authority, like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. It's Dr. Fauci to you. And President Trump is not being opposed by him. This guy has wormed his way in. He is a flatterer. He is a career politician. He's very smooth. I've read to you the reports of people back in the AIDS epidemic that he presided over and how he lied to people upside one side down the other. A lot of people that were going to meet with Fauci said, don't get taken in by this guy. He is a flatterer. He'll tell you anything to get the way what he wants out of you. And so now this guy is now essentially the little dictator that is running our country when we have de facto martial law. And President Trump has delegitimized himself. And to give you an idea of the extreme that this has gone to, we look at what President Trump is now tweeting out in his anger. He's very desperate that he wants to take credit for having saved our lives in the same way that Cuomo has. I mean, they're both just petty politicians. One of them's got a D behind his name. The other one's got an R behind his name. They saved us, didn't they? No, they didn't. The same people who are out there trying to scare everybody as they constantly are adjusting their models and their numbers and their statistics are saying, oh, look, everybody's got it. And, you know, most half the people don't even know they've got it and so forth. And now we got to get back to work at ground zero. And they didn't use any of these resources that they had, as President Trump pointed out. Look, we gave them a medical ship. We gave them thousands of beds and ventilators, and they didn't need any of that stuff, right? Yeah, it's a disease. People died from it, and you know, people die from all kinds of things, but you got to keep it in perspective. As we look at this story from the Wall Street Journal, well, you know, again, an issue they'll have is who will have the power to terminate this continuing state of emergency? And people are asking this question because now they realize that it's a fraud. The emperor has no clothes. You know, people have looked, Fauci has dropped his white coat and people realize he's got no clothes on. He's got no authority. He's got no pandemic to scare us with. It's a fraud. And but the Wall Street Journal says it's brought the global economy to a virtual standstill. Yes, it has. And it has resulted in more than 23,000 deaths across the U.S. Again, taking it out of context. Put it in the context, Wall Street Journal, of 330 million people. Put it in the context of the fact that, you know, over this month that this has been going on, if it's typical of a usual year, we've had 60,000 people die of heart attacks over this month. We've had about the same number die from cancer. We probably had, about 8,000 people die from just prescription drug reactions, about 8,000. Many, many other causes of death. Nobody pays any attention to that. We don't have any context. A person died. Take all the guns. A person died. Lock everybody down for coronavirus. But now President Trump has come out and he says, well, when somebody's a president of the United States, the authority is total. Let me read that to you again. When somebody is president of the United States, the authority is total. Do you really believe that, President Trump? If you believe that, then why didn't you shut the border? If you really believe that, President Trump, then why didn't you do something about Obamacare? If you think you've got absolute authority, why didn't you do something about that? You said you had to ask permission of the Supreme Court or the Congress, or you couldn't do it because your hands were tied. But now you have total authority. Well, you don't. You don't have total authority. And people left, right, and center are calling him out over the fact that he has basically put himself up as a king, a bastard king. I used that term the other day because I got angry, but it fits in this particular case. A bastard king is somebody, when you have the line of succession is determined by bloodlines, this would be somebody that is not related by blood, that has taken the throne illegitimately. And President Trump has put that throne on his head illegitimately. He is a bastard king. We don't need kings in America, let alone the bastard kind. Jonathan Turley, who had testified at Trump's impeachment hearings about the abuse of power, claims that even though that didn't rise to the level of impeachment, and it didn't. He has now rebuked Trump in a tweet, talking about the idea that he has this absolute power. Justin Amash, who has always been a never-Trumper, says Americans who believe in limited government deserve another option. Yeah, that's right. Governors made decisions to take various actions in their states based on what they thought was right for their state, said Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, who is another Republican and chair of the National Governors Association. He said individual governors who made those decisions will have the ultimate decision on what to do in their states. Guys, get ready. Video clip number 6, okay? Then President Trump went out and said, tell the Democrat governors that Mutiny on the Bounty was one of my all-time favorite movies. I guess he sees himself, as the New York Post put him in the role of Captain Bligh. A good old-fashioned mutiny every now and then is an exciting and invigorating thing to watch, especially when the mutineers need so much from the captain. So he's the captain with total authority because he's the president. No, he's not. He's not even the president. Fauci is the president. He's turned it over to him. Let's play video clip number 6 because I've had so many people tell me that, you know, President Trump didn't order this. This is being done by the governors. No, actually, he is owning this. He's owning the shutdown because he wants to own the reopening. Here's President Trump yesterday at the press conference.
Are you basically lifting your slow the spread before the May 1 deadline?
No, and then, not at all.
And then how many
the
states?
The governors are going to be running their individual states. Some of them will say, no, I can't open now. And some of them may last longer than we even would think. Others will say, I can. You can go. I don't want to mention states, but there are numerous states that are in great shape right now. They're viewing the rest of the country like we don't even believe this is happening. We have a lot of those states. They're set to open practically now. I mean, they would be open now. We're going to let them open sooner than the date. We're going to pick a date. We're going to get a date that's good. But it's going to be very, very soon, sooner than the end of the month. But there are many states out there that are looking at this and they're reviewing it and they're saying, we shouldn't be even included in this. You know, there are some that want to open up almost now. Now, if we disagree with it, we're not going to let them open.
Oh, it's all up to the governors. But if you disagree with it, we're not going to let them open. Same thing. He said, we're going to show you the plan that's put together by the CDC and FEMA because, you know, they're the ones who become president after they declare a state of emergency. So we'll show you that when we come back. Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll let the governors decide, unless I disagree with them. Well, then you're the one making the decision, King. Welcome back. As we look at the press conference yesterday, it was a very long press conference, and I think most people basically fell asleep as President Trump was going down a long list of people who are unelected but appointed by him, who are now going to decide when and how we're going to reopen. And I want to take a look at that because we have seen leaked, as President Trump says, well, we're going to lead it up to the governors to do this. And I'm not going to tell them. If they think they want to go ahead, we'll let them have that decision and so forth. But, you know, it's going to be up to them. Well, then it leaked out that there's actually a plan being put together by the CDC and FEMA. FEMA camps. that FEMA, right? And then President Trump was at the press conference, and he said, yeah, we'll let the governors make a decision about this. But then he said, and we had to go to break, so I want to back up and play just a little bit of this because this is the money part of the clip. Let them make the decision unless I disagree with them. Here's that clip. Let's play that.
We have a lot of those states. They're set to open practically now. I mean, they would be open now. We're going to let them open sooner than the date. We're going to pick a date. We're going to get a date that's good. But it's going to be very, very soon, sooner than the end of the month. But there are many states out there that are looking at this and they're reviewing it and they're saying, we shouldn't be even included in this. You know, there are some that want to open up almost now. Now, if we disagree with it, we're not going to let them open. We're not going to let them open. If some governor said, lot of problems,
He's
a lot of cases, a lot of death,
he does have,
and they want to open early, we're not going to let it happen. So we're there to watch. We're there to help.
Yeah, okay. So all of you who criticize me, I get a lot of people at Libertarian saying, yeah, it's not President Trump's fault, it's Fauci's fault. Well, President Trump is putting him in charge. President Trump is letting the CDC and FEMA determine when and how and to what extent we're going to be allowed to open. He put it out by executive order. Guidelines, of course, yes. Guidelines and recommendations from Fauci. Guidelines and recommendations from Trump. Guidelines and recommendations from your governors, from your local sheriff or mayor or police department. And they shut you down without any due process, without any declaration of martial law. Yeah. They don't need no stinking badges, right? They can tell you whatever they want to tell you, and you just jump as high as they say. Next week, they'll tell us, you know, wear your mask and hop on one leg on one side of the sidewalk, and you'll have to do it because they say so. The president has absolute authority, President Trump said. And says anybody that disagrees with that is, you know, Mutiny on the Bounty is his favorite movie, and you're committing mutiny, essentially. Well, Rand Paul had an interesting perspective on this. He pulled out his Constitution. He said the Constitution does not allow the federal government to become the ultimate regulator of our lives simply because they waive a doctor's note, says Dr. Rand Paul. See, not all doctors have a God complex, do they? Not all of them think that they are superior to you because they've got a medical degree. Powers not delegated, he reads from the Constitution, powers not delegated are reserved to the states and to the people. He capitalizes reserved and people. If we dispense with constitutional restraints, we will have more to worry about than a virus. The authority of the President of the United States having to do with the subject that we're talking about is total, however, said President Trump. No, it's not total. Rand Paul says the Constitution does not allow Trump to be the ultimate regulator of our lives, nor does it allow Fauci or the CDC or the NIH or FEMA to be the ultimate regulators of our lives either. And Wall Street Journal is jumping in. Everybody is jumping in on this. It's just amazing to me that he would persist in this. But let me tell you, there's something far more authoritarian about President Trump's approach to this. In that same press conference, as he was talking about how this is going to work, and he began to focus on testing, he had something absolutely amazing to say. He is suggesting that governors will test you at the entry to their state and perhaps as you exit their state. Let's play video clip number 8. Do you guys have that ready?
I want to thank Abbott because Abbott came up with the first simpler test. The first one was rough if you were
not.
I
Governor
think it was more
Abbott
of an operation than a test. The first one was for anybody that took it. It was not easy. But now we have a very simple test with Abbott. Now we have saliva. We have lots of other things that are happening.
Yeah, I get your DNA from that.
We have millions of tests. The governors are responsible. They have to take charge. They have to do a great job. And we're going to suggest that they check people through tests or otherwise coming into their states.
Coming into their states.
And they run their states very strong. Eventually, we won't have to do that. Eventually, this will be gone. But for a while, we're going to do it. So they're going to take charge at their borders. They're going to take charge of people coming in. And maybe to an extent, depending on what they work out with a nearby state, maybe also people leaving.
Can you believe that? Now, let me ask you, what would your reaction be if those same words were spoken by President Hillary Clinton or by President Obama? Would you have a problem with that? I have a big problem when President Trump says that. That truly is his state of mind. He has delegitimized himself with his authoritarian, I would say totalitarian approach. Every detail of our lives directed by a central government. You have no constitutional authority for this. President Trump, if you want to be the dictator, just declare martial law. I'm sure that they'll give you that power. Yeah, they all want it, right? Well, you know, who's really the ruler? Well, President Trump is just a front man for this. He's just a tool, quite frankly. Because as he's saying all this stuff, yeah, we're going to let the government, the governors decide this and so forth. It was leaked to the Washington Post, a plan that was drafted by the real rulers behind the throne. And, of course, you know, the people who are funding them, we know Gates and so forth. CDC and FDA have a guide about how they want to reopen the economy. Now, again, these are not orders. The governors can feel free to obey that or not. But, of course, they always obey the guidelines and recommendations, don't they? The plan lays out three phases. Preparing the nation to reopen with a national communication campaign. Think about that now. They're preparing you with a national communication campaign. In other words, it's propaganda. They have been preparing us for this for a very long time. They've been preparing us for these measures by talking about climate change. And then they just pulled out that and inserted COVID-19. You were already prepared. Many people are begging for the very measures that have been put in place by President Trump. They've been preparing you to be scared to death. They prepared you by cooking the books on the fatality rates. They prepared you then by saying, well, you know, it's going to be transmitted by everybody and so forth. They've been preparing you with all this stuff. Now they've got a preparation, a communications plan, and they're going to be propagandizing you for the next 2 weeks. They said this will prepare the nation with a national communication campaign and readiness assessment until May 1st. Then through May 15th for another 2 weeks. So first you have the 2 weeks of propaganda. Then for 2 weeks, they will begin putting out testing kits, ramping up manufacturing and distribution of testing kits and personal protective equipment, because in phase three, for you to be able to get out, you will have to take a test. As I reported quite some time ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about that. Get a test on a daily basis. You get your little wristband and you can now travel. You will have to take that test. You'll have to wear that personal protective equipment, that mask. So the first priority is to reopen community settings where kids are cared for, including K-12 schools, daycare, locally attended summer camps, and everything. Because, you know, we have to allow the mom and dads to get back to work. We got to take the kids off of their hands because you don't want any moms or dads staying home with the kids. We don't want to have the family raising these kids. And, of course, we all know that if you send the kids back to school and they get sick, they can't possibly contaminate the parents, right? You see how you got to double think about all this stuff? This is truly Orwellian. And so it says, the document also says that during the phased reopenings, it'll be critical to strictly follow our recommendations on wearing face coverings in group settings. The models indicate that 30-day shelter in place followed by 180-day lifting of all mitigation results in a large rebound curve. So there you go. Another couple of months, then another 6 months. Yeah, they're going to stretch this thing out to a year. You're going to have tests everywhere that you go per the recommendations of our new king, our captain of the ship, President Trump, or is it Fauci or CDC? Who is it that's moving his lips back there? Welcome to America with a K. Folks, if you want to support independent press, take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. We have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. Get all your vitamins, essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, in an easy-to-take format. We have Storable Food now back in stock, and we've gotten the waiting list down to a 7-week delay, so we're taking orders. Winter Sun, very vital for your immune system. D3, Winter Sun, 50% off. InfoWarsStore.com.